Our scripture today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Something to keep in mind that as you hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew was very clear whenever he was talking about the end times. The theological term is the eschaton, eschatology. I know sometimes you say that and you almost spit whenever it comes out. It's one of those big preacher words, but all it references is the end times when Jesus comes again. As Christians, we understand that Jesus will be coming again. He came for the first time to bring salvation. He'll come again to bring the fruition, the completion of God's plan. Matthew talks about that an awful lot. And in these last sections leading up to the very plot to kill him, that's something that's an emphasis. And he continues to reference it. And he shares these words with us, his modern day disciples, today. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had received 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." And where have we heard this before? "Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, reaping what you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave! You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here ends the reading of the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join with me in an attitude of prayer. Father, we've heard these words. We pray that as modern day disciples, we would We would receive them. We would understand that you are going to be at work, not only as we hear these words, but in the rest of our lives. Help these words to guide us and fill us and stretch us and sustain us as your people. And it's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. I participated in an event yesterday. Part of an event. Okay? It was a half marathon. Right now, there are so many of you that are eyeballing me, looking me up and down, saying, there's no way. Understand, I said part of a half marathon. I think it was just over 3 miles, okay? And as I received the band from the person, I was part of a relay, and I received it from her with much fear and trepidation. My knees were shaking, knowing that I still had my thing to do. I started out. Now, saying that I did part of a half marathon, I need to explain. It was not running. It was maybe not even jogging. It was more of a shuffling like this. Maybe even an ambling, but I just kept my feet moving. I'm glad it was on gravel because I could slide them as I went. I was thankful that I didn't fall off into the canal, that they had people waiting for me. And you know, as I got closer and closer to the next station where my relay partners, thank God, were waiting for me, and they were encouraging me on, at first they didn't know to cheer for me because all they saw was this lumbering form kind of running through them. And maybe they had great prayers or they had fear that this guy wasn't going to make it. And they didn't recognize me at first. You know why? Because I had a cap on my head. And they were looking for this shining beacon going by and cheering people on. And they saw this lumbering form wandering towards them. And so they cheered even more fervently, hoping that I would just make it and not fall on my face. What I wanted to do in that was at least shuffle the whole way, okay? Jog, whatever. It was not running, okay? Get that straight. I wanted to at least shuffle slash jog the whole way. I wanted to be able to do that just because I thought, boy, the people at the other end would be amazed, for one thing. And you know, it was just something that I decided that I wanted to do. I just kind of sucked it up. And for me, not being a runner, I'm so happy to be able to get done with it. Sometimes, whenever we are presented with challenges in life, that's what we're called to do. We're called to pull from reserves that we didn't even know that we had. And as a Christian, I believe that as Christians, those reserves come from one source and one source alone. You're all with me on that one. They come from God, surprisingly, sustainingly, out of nowhere seemingly, and they help us to do things that we never thought we would be able to do. And yet it's important that as believers, as Christians, as modern-day disciples, that we don't just ever want to sit back and rest on our supposed laurels, but rather continue to be faithful to following how God is guiding us. Whenever it becomes our agenda, are there problems? Whenever it is about God's agenda, that is when we are being His people. The words are very clear here, and yet startling, aren't they? I mean, they startle me whenever I still hear them. Okay, there's an owner and his slaves that he entrusts with money. And by the way, that measure of money is an awful lot of money. Just for you to understand that. It wasn't like $5. See what here. Get out of my face. It was a lot of money that he entrusted. And the first two, We're willing to be bold. We're willing to step out of their comfort zone, and we're willing to go ahead and stick to it. The last one was guided by something completely different. And it's something that has guided people down through the ages and, regretfully, has even guided the work of some Christians. That something is fear. Are we called to be people of fear? Absolutely not. We're called to be people of faith, trusting as we seek to follow the path that God puts us on, that we are going to be following the one who has created us, knowing that we are being sustained and filled by the one who continues to love us, knowing that that God of all creation, of the mountains, even of the rain and the misty mornings, that God of all creation is the one who is at work powerfully in each and every one of us. That's grace. That is strength. And that is what the two first servants showed. The last one, well, it seems like kind of harsh words as well from the master, doesn't it? But whenever we are only guided by fear, then what we find ourselves is in the outer darkness, separated from God, if you will. The image of darkness in the biblical sense was always about that, an unknown, a place of great fear, a place that you didn't know what was going on, you didn't know what was coming up. And that servant was sent there because he'd already acted in that way, based on fear. We, my friends, are called to be based on how God is working in us, how God continues to discern in us. We are called to step forward in faith. It's a story of Kyle Maynard. This is connected to Veterans Day as well. You may have never heard of Kyle Maynard, but he was an individual who lost both arms and both legs. And yet, he continues to climb, believe it or not. And they showed a special on him climbing Stone Mountain, Georgia. Now, you talk about pulling from reserves to do something beyond what you thought was capable and beyond what anybody else in a reasonable sense would look at you and say was possible. The church has been doing that all along, or the church has been called to do that all along. The church has been called to be about accountability, to be about integrity, and to be about following where God is leading us. Even when it seems like we're going right against society or coming right up against the world, whenever we're following that lead of our Heavenly Father and trusting rather than wavering, having faith rather than fear, my friends, God will not abandon us. What's the story tell us? Those who had faith enter into the joy of my kingdom. Who is the only source of joy? God. We can be happy about a lot of different things, but God is the only source of joy. And joy is that which is deep and abiding, no matter what is swirling around us. You see the difference? When you're eating that Reese's peanut butter cup, and you know what I'm talking about, whether you freeze it or not, and you eat it, you're happy for a little bit. And then what happens? I want another one. That's happiness. Joy is something deeper. Joy is what speaks to us when we say, Father, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to trust you. Father, this is a big challenge, but I'm going to hand it over to you. And God gives us that joy, which could also be defined as strength, to say, you're going to be able to carry on. Let me share something with you from Reverend Rudy Rasmus. He's the pastor of a large church in Houston, Texas. And the church started out with 9 members, and they've grown to over, I think, 9,000 now. It's not really about numbers. The point is what they decided to do. They decided to have faith rather than fear, and to go into areas of Houston that needed it most, where the homeless were, where the people were living on the streets, where the people were dealing with addictions and hunger, all those things that God guides us to deal with. And this is a statement that he offers to people whenever they want to remember that God is still at work. By the way, his church now has 3,000 members who are homeless. I am often trying to offer a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. Don't give up today. Don't throw in the towel today. Don't kill yourself today. Don't walk away today from your family. Don't give up on your dream today, because opportunity can possibly come your way tomorrow. And I want you to hear this next part. I want you to listen to this carefully. I tell people all the time, if you can wrap your mind around Christ coming back to life, then everything between your current predicament and Christ coming back to life sits in the realm of possibility. Amen? Amen. If you can believe this guy, Christ, is alive, then everything dead in my life, including my perspective and my personal finances and my relationship, can also come back. Amen? Amen? At the core of hope is believing that as bad as it may be, it can get better. Amen, church? Amen. And our faith has to connect in some tangible way to that process of it getting better. My friends, faith is what we are called to share. Hope is what we are called to be about. And God is the one that we are called to focus on, always and forever. I invite you to join with me in our words of discipleship as they are printed in our bulletin today. It's right at the bottom of that page and at the top of the next. Let us begin. As you leave the sanctuary today, may you know the hope to which God has called you. Experience the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and trust his incomparable great power for us to believe. Amen. Our song of response is number 206, the first verse of I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.